No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
On a night that demanded big boy hockey with big time stakes and a big game feel, the Winnipeg Jets big boys stood up tallest, went into Madison Square Garden, and defeated the New York Rangers by a 4-2 margin. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Along with Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about a very entertaining contest between the Jets and the Rangers, one won by the hometown team who head into New York and continue the good play as of late and make a statement, if you will, Dave, that they're not just here to beat up on the lesser rands in the NHL. They can go toe-to-toe with the big boys and come away with a victory. Nice to see you. Nice to see that fancy-ass background of yours as well on this, Tuesday evening, I believe.
It's true, Drew. It's not a green screen. I'm at the lake. There may be a little echoey. It's a little different. It's a bit of a big room. We'll see if I'm too echoey. People can let me know in the chat. But I decided to take it out to the lake after the Moose game this morning, and so figured I'd be entitled to at least have a day before I have to go back to the city for a Moose game tomorrow night. But look, the fact is, and I wrote about it on IllegalCurve.com in the pregame report. I said, look, the reality is this: you're not gonna plan a parade when you beat the 29th ranked team in the NHL. You're not going to plan a parade when you beat the 30th ranked team in the NHL. You're not planning a parade on one win, but that was a pretty convincing win against, I think, the second overall team in the NHL or third in the New York Rangers. So, I mean, that's a heck of a good hockey team. Obviously not miss. They were missing Jacob Trouba, who's a significant piece, of course, but that's a really good hockey team. It was a really, you know, it's funny. We talk about scoreless periods don't necessarily mean they're boring. Sometimes they are. That was not one of them. That was an excellent opening 20 minutes of hockey. And this was again, we try not to make these things too significant one way or the other, as we tried to dial it back when folks were being apoplectic after that loss to the Nashville Predators, a team who I'm pretty sure still haven't lost, Drew, even after defeating the Jets. I think they're still on their streak in some capacity, although they were struggling against the Sharks tonight. I think it was tied 2-2 last I checked. But again, you don't get too high. But
They're up 4-2 over the Sharks now, so don't worry about it. Yeah. You don't have to worry about the Preds.
Sure. But I mean, like, the truth is that this was a significant effort by Winnipeg, a team effort, as you will. And especially with the news that Rick Bowness, we found out earlier this morning that he had to return home to Winnipeg for a minor medical procedure, so they wouldn't have the coach on the bench. But I mean, Scott Arneil has shown that he's more than capable of manning the ship when Rick Bowness is unavailable. I think with tonight's win, that improves him to 10-2-2 without the main bench boss in attendance. So Scott Arneil showing that he's more than capable of steering the ship, and credit to Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck, because on a big stage like New York City, biggest, world's most famous arena, Drew, the bright lights of Broadway did not intimidate either of those two players, and they both came to play in a game that, like I said, if Winnipeg would have lost, we would have said probably something to the effect of, well, you know, you lost to a really good Rangers team. Well, you beat a really good Rangers team, and you stood, it wasn't, again, Drew, many times we've talked on these shows or, you know, on our Saturday show about how good Connor Hellebuck was. So that's the reason why everybody remembers the 50 saves against the New York Rangers in New York. This wasn't that game. He made 40. He was still very good, but this team in total was also very good. And so I think high danger chances after that first period were like 6-2, or maybe it was after 40, were 6-2 at 5-on-5 in favor of the Jets. The numbers were looking favorable. Of course, the Rangers were down after 40 minutes, so you knew that they were going to come out on fire trying to equalize that game. But you got to give those Winnipeg Jets credit, because three wins in a row now. And again, this one is the biggest one of the road trip. Yes. You know, you've got New Jersey, you've got the Islanders, you got the Capitals. Those teams are all scratching and clawing, trying to either maintain their spots in the playoffs or get into a playoff spot. But this was a battle of top teams, the top team in the Metro against the top team in the Central, and the Winnipeg Jets came out on top 4-2.
That was such a soliloquy. I thought Ginsburg was here, but there you go. Dave M getting a lot off his chest early in tonight.
That was my Interlake soliloquy, if you will.
Yeah, your Interlake soliloquy indeed. This was an entertaining hockey game. One of my chief complaints about, you know, about professional sports, particularly professional hockey, professional basketball, baseball, is that, you know, there's so many games during the regular season that really don't feel like they matter. That, mm-hmm. yeah, you want to win, but if you lose, it's not the end of the world. This was a game that felt like it had some emotion behind it, and it had that emotion behind it from puck drop. There was... This was not a measuring stick game, because both these teams know that they are damn good hockey teams. This was a game where you're, you know, best on best. And yes, each team was missing players from their lineup, but each mm-hmm. team wanted to go out there and just say, you know what, you guys are a good hockey team. We're a good hockey team. Let's go do battle for 60 minutes. May the best team win. And, you know, and the Jets were the better of the two teams, you know, especially when it counted. Now, New York pushed in the third, as you would expect, later in the third in particular, because I thought for the first 10 minutes of that third period, maybe the first 12 minutes of that third period, the Jets did a great job of still maintaining their offensive drive, and they came close to making it a 3-goal lead at various times in that third period. And you know, that would have, you know, ended the game at that point in time. But this was just a hockey game that had life to it from puck drop. And that's why, from a viewer's perspective, never mind from my perspective as an analyst and a host here on the program, but simply mm-hmm. from an individual who enjoys high quality hockey, this was a high quality hockey game, and really sort of makes up for some of the dregs of hockey games we've seen as of late that are just a function of one hockey team, the Jets in this case, being a lot better than some of their opponents as of recent, the Capitals, the Blue Jackets, the Kraken, et cetera, et cetera. This tonight was a damn good hockey game.
Yeah. I mean, I think you put it beautifully, Drew. I think that there's no question about it, especially when this is game 68 of the season. And mm-hmm. If you want me to do some potpourri, I'm happy to, but let me get that potpourri out.
You gotta have the potpourri ready if you're gonna drop potpourri on us.
I got it. Sorry. This is game win 44 in game 68. Last year, win 44 came in game 79. So you're getting closer to no more hitting those wins mm-hmm. will stop after at a certain point. So well ahead of last year's pace, 11 games to be precise. And in 17-18, the big year that everybody references, win 44 came in game 73. So five up on that team. So just put that into perspective. And again, you know, the other thing that we're wondering and we were curious about was what kind of lineup decisions they would make in after two games of, you know, Logan Stanley. And would you put and this was by no means a castigation, because Logan Stanley played well those last mm-hmm. two games, but Dylan Sandberg didn't do anything to deserve not to be in the lineup. No. So Dylan Sandberg draws back in mm-hmm. and, you know, he looked real good. He made a couple of really nice plays in this game. So this Jets team collectively continues to roll, and it's just a good thing, because I mean, a 4-2 win in New York, like I said, you don't plan a parade in game 68, but it's a really good sign that this team, when push comes to shove, Drew, we talk about it, right? And we talk about it throughout. We've talked about it for years on our various programs. You know, last year the narrative was the Jets couldn't beat. They could get up for the good team sometimes, but they wouldn't beat. They'd have struggle or wouldn't beat the lesser teams. Right. This year, they're beating the lesser teams, mm-hmm. so you don't malign them for that, because now, especially in the last few games, not only are they beating them, they're beating them handily. Right, we're thinking, of course, of the 6-0 and 6-1 wins.
Yeah,
but now when push comes to shove and you're playing these better teams, and remember, people were flashing the stats after the last, the playoff games wins versus the non-playoff game wins. Like I said, it doesn't get bigger than this. So this was a big win for Winnipeg. There's no question about it. They're going to be feeling good. They're heading to New Jersey tomorrow for practice before they take on a Devils team that I think they win or lose. I think they beat Pittsburgh tonight, or I think they might have won. But
beat Pittsburgh 5-2 tonight. Yes.
Is the Lake House be considered an estate? No, it's definitely not an estate, Mark.
You know, Mark, I would be able to answer that question, but unfortunately, I've yet to receive an invite to the lake house. So, you know, thank you, Mark, for the contribution of some funds to the Illegal Curve bank account. We do appreciate that. And again, the rules are firmly stated on this program. We're not above bribery. If you give us money, we will answer your question on air. It's that simple. So thank you, Mark, for doing that. But, you know, Mark, Dave says it's not an estate, but, you know, Dave has got such elitist standards that, you know, me and the rest of us might consider it an estate, but we don't really know until we see it live and in person, I would say.
Fair enough. Well, maybe we'll have a party here. Maybe we'll have a meet and greet, an IC meet and greet here. Probably not, but ultimately we will be having
a nice idea. It's not going to happen, but it's a nice idea nonetheless.
Yeah. Sorry, Amy. No IC. First of all, I don't call it a lake house. That's what my brother calls it. I actually, but the name bothers me. So I call it a cottage.
Okay, fair enough. Whatever Dave is, he's enjoying the post-game show, as are so many of you on this Tuesday night. If you haven't already done so, be sure to smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and subscribe to the podcast. We do this after each and every.
And for the record, hold on, I want to be perfectly clear. This is actually my parents' place. It's not mine. So as much as everyone's given me the old Moneybags Manuke thing, this is a Gary and Cheryl thing, not mine.
There you go. Who's it being willed to? Have you had that conversation yet?
The three of us are receiving
three siblings. Not an issue, fair enough. Hate to see it cause any sort of sibling rivalry or a rift in the family. That would be upsetting for everybody involved. Nonetheless, a big win for the Jets by that 4-2 margin. And what can you say about Mark Scheifele's performance tonight? You know, this is, you know, the Jets' best players. Mark Scheifele, Connor Hellebuck, Josh Morrissey. I thought they were the best of the Jets for tonight's game, and I thought they were better than the Rangers' best players. And I think sometimes a game, you know, it's not, you know, just that simple. It's not saying the Jets' best players were better than the Rangers' best players, and that's why the Jets won. But, you know, Connor Hellebuck against Igor Shesterkin, you know, and they alluded to it on the broadcast, that there is a... there's a rivalry there. There's a healthy respect for one another there because they each consider themselves to be atop the hierarchy of NHL goaltending. So Hellebuck wants to go out and have a great performance, just like Shesterkin does too. Hellebuck's performance was better than Shesterkin's was. Mark Scheifele's performance tonight was just so strong, and it was strong at both ends of the ice. And, you know, as I think it was either Kevin said it or Dan Robertson said it on the broadcast at the end of the game, that's about as pretty an empty net goal hat trick as you're going to get. You know, it's spoiler alert when we get into the Betway game recap there, folks. But it's just a function of it's hard work and it's a refusal to be denied. And Josh Morrissey was active all over the ice tonight. Our buddy Garrett Hull on Twitter made a reference to that. It looked like Morrissey played an entire shift as a forward and David Gustafson covered for him as a defender for almost an entire shift. I think it was sometime during that really good second period for the Jets. To me, it was just the Jets' best players were sharper and more on their game than the Rangers were tonight. And the supporting cast, of course, for the Winnipeg Jets was also equally important to tonight's game.
Well, again, that idea, Drew, of I think they were all over 10 minutes. And
yes,
that's
they all were.
And that's what we've been talking about, right? Is that the importance of this team not losing sight of the fact that it has to be more even. And so the highest, Alex Iafallo ended up playing 19:09. And so no surprise in Mark Scheifele in the 22 mark and Kyle Connor in the 20 mark. But for the rest, you know, he didn't really overtax the Adam Lowry line. They were in the 13-14 minute, the other line 16-15-16, and the fourth line over 10. And you know, I saw the comment in the chat earlier. The fourth line was very noticeable and not in a bad way, right? David Gustafson doing a lot of things. These guys are I think that there's a healthy awareness also because of the idea of guys being able to get into the lineup to keep guys fresh, that sort of thing. But, you know, that also means that you can come out of the lineup. And I think a lot of guys are saying, well, we have a healthy fear of that. So they want to stay in. They want to do what they can when they have the ice time. So it's another reminder that this team has a lot of ability to roll all four. And you know, these guys can look. Vlad Nemestikov, like we've said, was capable of being up. And we don't think he's a top you know, line winger or center, but you know, he can do that in a pinch. But when you have the luxury of having him on your fourth line and then getting him into other roles, you know, in PP2, whatever it's going to be, I think it just becomes a function of that. It just shows you how balanced this team is. And then when you have Connor Hellebuyck in net and you have the defense playing the way they were playing for the most part, there were some loose moments, I would say, Drew, where both teams were loose, right? Like there was a couple of
moments are going to happen in a hockey game. It's just a matter of mitigating the damage that occurs during loose moments and making sure that they are as few and far between as you can get. They're going to happen in the course of 60 minutes because, you know, humans play the game. Robots haven't started playing it just yet.
Yeah, no. And I was going to say, like, and it happened to both teams. It wasn't like you're like, well, you know, the Jets had six or seven chances that they get or opportunities they gave up and Connor Hellebuyck shut the door. You know, I'm thinking of there was a 2-on-1 for the Rangers. Hellebuyck makes a nice save. Nikolaj Ehlers goes back the other way. He gets a breakaway. Shesterkin makes a nice save. Both teams had those kind of lapses where the other team took advantage. And that's what happens when you have good teams, right? Good hockey teams can take advantage of opportunities. And there's no better example that resulted in a goal, of course, was Mark Scheifele recognizing Chris Kreider was, I'm not sure what he was doing. He was
lollygagging. I think, you know, sometimes when my kids take a long time to get ready for, you know, in the morning to get out the door on their way to school, you know, they always get distracted by, you know, shiny objects or dogs with puffy tails or whatever it might be. I'm pretty sure that's what happened to Chris Kreider there. He was just going for a lazy Sunday stroll. And Mark Scheifele said, thank you.
Yeah, no, like I said, we'll get into it when the Betway game recap begins, Drew. But that was a, you know, and it was, you know, it's one thing to make the mistake, but then to show kind of like a really shitty attitude to not even bother getting back. That's almost more concerning if you're watching, because, you know, he just stood there and he basically was just like skating back. And, you know, the truth is, I can't think of how many shows where folks have ripped, you know, whomever it is, whichever player back last year, we would have seen guys doing that, including the Jets top line and being lazy. And now, I mean, even in this game, Mark Scheifele, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back if I have to, but we talked about it. He's going to be a different player this year because he's focused on his legacy. And the legacy is winning a Stanley Cup. That's what it comes down to. That's what these guys want. There's no question about it. That's what Mark Scheifele wants, what Connor Hellebuyck wants. And obviously the rest of the team wants, and that's what every team wants, obviously. But I just think that this team, they know there's a reason they signed here. There's a reason why they extended, and they know that this group is good enough to win it. And so I think we're seeing it more and more from 55. And I mean, that's his eighth career hat trick, the fourth one of the season for the Jets. So, I mean, it was a total team effort, and that's what you wanted to see ultimately in this hockey game, which really, like we said, of the five that on the road, this was going to be the hardest one.
I have to highlight this just because it's funny. Dave's heavy eyes is a new chatter here on the show, which I think is very humorous because I'm fairly certain that they're talking about your heavy eyes, but that's what happens when you're Dave Manuk and you cover the Jets and you cover the Moose and you keep everybody up to date on illegalcurve.com all the time. You do get the heavy eye syndrome going on there. I had to highlight it, but it's a
testament. I may have been up playing Fortnite last night a little bit late. So I was trying for the victory royale.
I didn't realize you were such a gamer that you're staying up to the wee hours to play Fortnite and things of that nature.
Nah, I'm not huge into it, but you know, I'm not too bad. Get a few victory royales here and there.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know what any of that means, but I'm glad to see that people are acknowledging the effort that you put forth to make sure that they are firmly up to date on the latest on hockey in Manitoba. Available
big
all
one
the time,
today,
of course, at illegalcurve.com. We'll talk about the Moose. That'll be after the commercial break. But for now, let's get into the nitty-gritty details of tonight's contest. It's the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. March Madness, it's the first four are underway. That's going on tonight and tomorrow prior to the real meat of the tournament starting on Thursday. If you're looking for a place to place a wager on March Madness, or maybe you want a wager on the Winnipeg Jets to keep things going on this road trip, head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post game show.
This is where you start to, for the record, Drew, this is where you start to notice. This is where I think this is the first time I ever noticed Steph Curry back in the day playing for Davidson, if I recall correctly.
There you go. Way to pull that one out. Davidson. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly where Steph Curry went to college.
But I'm just saying, like, I remember watching Steph Curry playing for Davidson. And I was like, oh, I recognize the last name, of course. And I was like, this guy's pretty good. Little did we know.
Yeah, little did you know what he would turn into. Yes, it is a great time of year for those college basketball fans who watch it all year long, as I do, of course, with my allegiance to the University of Kentucky, and those who are just popping in and doing their brackets and having their fun office pools, whatever the case may be. It is a great time, and of course, our friends at Betway are here to support you accordingly. Really entertaining first period between both these teams. In Madison Square Garden, chances at both ends. Nikolai Ehlers, of course, he had a breakaway. I believe one of the Rangers players also had a breakaway as well. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but both goalies stood tall in that first period, Dave, to keep it at a 0-0 game after 20 minutes.
Yeah, and we said it in the preamble, but it holds true. This was still a really good first period. It was exciting. Mm-hmm. Both teams had chances. And both, yeah, it was definitely played fast. And it looked like two really good hockey teams, feeling each other out, trying to figure out exactly the strengths and weaknesses. And, we know that this is these are two teams that don't play each other very often. And correct me if I'm wrong, were the Rangers in town? It was a little bit later than that. I think it was the last game of the month in October.
Was that what it was?
I think it was the last game in October. So I want to say it was like game 6 or 7 of the season, but it was like 60 games ago, I think. Yeah. Was that? I think I'm
lost in overtime. Is that right?
Yeah, that was a 3-2 in overtime. Yeah, if I recall correctly. And I think, anyways, yeah,
October 30th. It was a Monday night. You're very, very good.
Yeah,
smart man you are.
Yeah, but anyways, the point is that it's been a long time since these two teams have seen each other. So, and again, these you're wondering what the Rangers, I think, just defeated the Islanders. But yeah, like I said, it was almost like two teams it was like watching a boxing match a little bit, right? Drew, like two boxers kind of like measuring the other guy up and trying to figure out exactly what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are in the first round, not going too hard, but then still trying to take a couple of shots. So I thought it was really entertaining. And like you said, it was really fast. So even though there was no scoring, it wasn't boring hockey. And that's what happens when you have two good teams, right? Two good teams can actually make a 0-0 game look a 0-0 period, sorry, look really good.
Yeah, and then, you sort of got to see why, when the Jets defeated the Blue Jackets on Sunday, or where they defeated some of the poor teams that they've beaten the last couple of weeks, you could really see, what good hockey looks like versus what one good team and one not so good team, what that hockey looks like when that is played. And you saw the difference, especially in that first period, as you mentioned, 0-0, but good hockey being played. That's going to keep people entertained and feel as though that they're getting their money's worth in the course of that contest. The Jets open the scoring. And when this team opens the scoring, we know how difficult they are to beat. It's hugely important for the Winnipeg Jets. I think, what have they lost 4 times all year when they've opened the scoring? Something like, I think they've opened the scoring in 35 or 36 of their games, and they've won, and they've only lost 4 of those games in regulation, something like that. And my numbers might be a little off, but stick with me, folks. I'm close.
That's not my potpourri, Drew. I was without that sort of knowledge in terms of potpourri.
Well, if my hand's already up here,
I'm going to wave at Dark Moon because he's asking for me to wave and smile.
Okay. Dark Moon always does enjoy a good wave from us. So when we're able to cooperate, we like to do that for him. Anyways, the Jets do open the scoring at the 4:04 mark of the second period. Mark Scheifele, his 20th of the year. That's 9 straight years he's had 20 goals. It's also 9 straight years he's had 21 goals and 22 goals, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. Hits his 20th of the year, assist to Alex Iafallo and Nate Schmidt on this one as well. It's a real nice dump in by Kyle Connor. It's a dump in with a purpose. Sometimes you dump the puck in and it's immediately out and you're playing defense. This one was a dump in with a purpose. He goes in hard on the forecheck, and so does Alex Iafallo. And both of them are in there winning the board battles and winning the puck battles against the Rangers. It eventually comes back out to Nate Schmidt at the point. Alex Iafallo is now in the danger zone, and he gets a deflection on it. It ends up onto Mark Scheifele's stick, and he makes no mistake getting it past Igor Shesterkin to get the Jets that, like I said, that all-important 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and look, you're getting a forecheck from Kyle Connor. And, you know, he's winning a board battle, which, again, I don't know how often you can say that, but it highlighted a level of aggressiveness that I thought Winnipeg adopted in that second period a little bit more. We talked about it. They did take some chances in the first, but that to me was, you know, and they show the Jets fan, a lot of Jets fans in the crowd, but again, Kyle Connor winning a board battle along the wall, that's important. And then you just see Nate Schmidt, he's much maligned, but Nate Schmidt is an important piece, of course, on this Jets team. And he fires that out there. And Mark Scheifele, credit him, right? Like he's just showing that it's that determination, right? You want to play in a hard area. You want to go to the front of the net. You could get smashed. The Rangers kind of fly by Scheifele. They don't really take him, which right. is probably not ideal defense. You're not going to love that from the coaching staff, because you can't really leave a player like Mark Scheifele that wide open and not really checking him. But
not again, this edition of Mark Scheifele, you can't.
No, you're not. And so if you give him that sort of time and space, well, he's going to take it and he's going to burn you. And he does. And the Jets have a 1-0 lead. And like you said, Drew, that's the ninth straight season for him with 20 goals or more.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I was actually pretty close. The Jets have scored first 34 times this year, and okay. their record is 33-1 when they score first. So almost automatic that when this Winnipeg Jets team, at least in the regular season, and this doesn't necessarily mean it'll translate come playoff time, but when the Jets score first, they have won 30 of those 34 games, which you don't have to be a mathematician to know that that's a pretty good record. 1-0 for the Jets at that point in time. The Rangers tie it up 5 minutes and 26 seconds later. It's a power play goal. Josh Morrissey is in the box for hooking. Alex Wenberg gets his 10th of the year, his first as a member of the New York Rangers since being acquired from the Kraken at the trade deadline. Assist to Alex Lafreniere, and former Winnipeg Jet, of course, Jack Roslovic. It's a power play goal. It's a good shot by Lafreniere, and Hellebuck with a big rebound, probably a bigger rebound than he's typically gives up. Not that I'm blaming him for this one. And Wenberg is sort of positioned right between Dylan Sandberg and Mason Appleton, and he uses his long reach to sort of swipe the puck into the empty net after Hellebuck is trying to get back into position after making the original save, Dave.
Yeah, and I don't know where the Rangers rank in terms of the power play, Drew, in the NHL, but they're...
I think it's like, pretty good. I think it was sixth in the league. Sixth in the league entering tonight's
okay.
game.
I was going to say, it seemed like a top five, but sure, yeah. Six is pretty damn good. And this is just a smart play by Wenberg, who, like we said, that's his first goal with his new team, but he just finds some soft ice, and he gets in between the Jets, and they allow him to have that space. And yeah, it's a little bit of an unusual rebound, but it's hard to criticize Connor Hellebuck given the way he played. And it goes into the middle, and next thing you know, he's a little bit out of position. Obviously, after making the save, he's trying to get back, isn't able to. And again, if either Sandberg or Appleton tie up Wenberg, then you don't have to worry about it because that puck sits there harmlessly. Instead, Wenberg is allowed to kind of unmolested get that puck towards the net, and it's a 1-1 game.
Yeah, exactly right. Good analysis from your perspective there. The Jets, you know, it was an active second period, let's say, in terms of goals. Yeah. The Jets get the lead back when they get a power play opportunity. This is with Schneider in the box for hooking at this juncture of the game. It's at the 12:18 mark. So the Rangers really only tied it up for less than 3 minutes. It's Kyle Connor from a really difficult angle, his 30th of the year, assist to Monahan and to Foley. And the Jets are playing catch. It's Scheifele going down to Toffoli. They're playing catch. It's Scheifele going back up to Morrissey. It's Morrissey back to Scheifele. And the whole time, Sean Monahan is not staying still. He's moving around as well. So what this is doing is this is eventually creating some gaps that the Jets can take advantage of. It goes from Scheifele down low to Toffoli, Toffoli back up to Monahan in the bumper position. He gets the shot off. Now, it's still not clear to me if he actually got the shot through to Shesterkin or if it was partially blocked and deflected onto the stick of Kyle Connor, who is on, if you're facing Shesterkin, he's on Shesterkin's right. And it's a difficult angle, but it's not a difficult angle for a goal scorer like Kyle Connor. He's able to deposit the puck into the wide open net, and it's 2-1 for the Winnipeg Jets. You love the movement in this power play from the Jets, and lo and behold, that power play for the Jets, which of course had been the subject of such consternation, rightfully so, all season long, is now getting upwards of to the 20th spot in the NHL. Certainly not great, but certainly a lot more dangerous than it was when it was towards the bottom, which really just exemplifies the improvement in this power play over the last, let's say, month to 6 weeks, give or take, almost coinciding when Monahan comes over from the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, for sure, Drew. We remember how woeful this power play was for so long. And stagnation was the word we used. Well, you wouldn't use that anymore. I mean, you talked about it, movement. And it's movement means two, you know, number of things, obviously. It can mean the puck movement, which I thought was excellent on this sequence. It also moves their feet. And I thought every guy wasn't remaining stationary. And we saw that, I forget, what was his name? Who's the coach? Used to be the QMJHL coach, Gones, I think John Gones. And he did a breakdown of the
guy
Jets.
Who does it for Daily Faceoff.
Yeah. And so he did it for Daily Faceoff about just the movement of this team. And you know, whether it was finding Monahan in the bumper position or, and it's funny because I said, you kind of went, when Kyle Connor scored, I said, that would be a tough angle for most players. Not for Kyle Connor, not when there's that much net. So you like that Monahan is firing that puck on Shesterkin. And you like that Kyle Connor is ready and willing to fire the puck as soon as he sees that much open net. So, I mean, that's, I think, what is that, 7 30 goal seasons for Kyle Connor. And I highlighted it, Drew, because I think it's worth mentioning that what a goal scorer he's been since being drafted in 2015. He's got the fourth most goals from that draft class behind a guy you might have heard of named Connor McDavid. He's also behind Mikko Rantanen. Yeah. And although his goals per game is actually the same as Rantanen's because he's played a lot less games. So it's like 0.46. Only McDavid's above it. I think he's like 0.52. And he's behind Sebastian Aho by 6 goals. But Aho's played, I think, 67 more games. So Kyle Connor, we all know that he can score. We all know that he can pass. He produces offensively. And that's, I think, actually also his, I think I want to say his 52nd game-winning goal for the Jets. Turned out to be a game-winning goal. We weren't sure, of course, how it was going to play out. But he just does it. You know, again, when you give him that kind of time and space, a guy who can put the puck in the back of the net, it's not a huge surprise he was able to find it. So the focus really isn't the goal, even though that was the end result. But what set it up was what you wanted to see from a Jets power play against, you know, a decent PK. And they were able to respond after giving up a power play goal themselves.
Tuesday night, you're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. So many of you joining us. Great to have you all here. If you haven't already done so, be sure to smash the like button and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game, and again on Saturday mornings with the Illegal Curve hockey show. Now, I'm not sure if this is your mom, Dave, or if it's somebody posing as your mom.
No, it's my mom. Well, it could be my mom or my dad.
Okay, well, either way, it's one of Dave's parents. We are thrilled to see them joining us here in the chat as well.
They're just making sure I'm not having a party here at the lake house.
That's right. They want to make sure that, hang on, did they draw lines on the liquor bottle so you could refill them to the right level? Like you were in high school and you'll fill it back up with water and pretend your parents are none the wiser about it?
No, they told me all the Fireball I want.
There you go. They know that Seagram's, of course, is one of our great sponsors here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. 2-1 for the Winnipeg Jets after the Kyle Connor power play goal. And then Mark Scheifele. This is about 5 minutes later, 5 minutes and 37 seconds later, to be exact. He puts the icing on the cake for a great Winnipeg Jets second period.
I misspoke. I said Kyle Connors was the game winner. Mark Scheifele has the game winner.
Yes, he gets the game winner. That's right.
That'd be his 48th game winner, I think. So he's behind. He's obviously behind Kyle Connor.
There you go. Thank you for having that stat at your fingertips. Mark Scheifele, his 21st of the season. It's unassisted. It starts, I mean, and we've said this multiple times this year. Chris Kreider doesn't get the assist, but he should have got the assist. But it starts, as we've said a number of times this year, with a defensive play from Mark Scheifele. And it's both a great defensive play and just an absolutely boneheaded play by Kreider, who's just just asleep at the wheel, not expecting the pressure to come. And Scheifele says, thank you very much. He pokes it off of Kreider's stick. He races into the neutral zone, and he's got a breakaway from really the Jets' defensive blue line. It's a long breakaway. He gathers up the loose puck. He takes enough time and has enough time to shoulder check. I'm not sure if he was trying to parallel park a car while he was coming in on that breakaway. But he comes in and he absolutely snipes this shot. He picks his corner, and it's not like he's in tight on Shesterkin when he does it. He picks the corner from the top of the hash marks. That's how accurate this shot was by Mark Scheifele going blocker side on Shesterkin. And you saw the fist pump and you saw the exuberance that he released after this goal, his second of the game. And it's a 3-1 Jets lead after 40 minutes. Mark Scheifele just carrying this Winnipeg Jets team along with Connor Hellebuck, who we'll talk about more in the third period, and Josh Morrissey as well, the Jets' biggest stars stepping up in the brightest lights of Madison Square Garden.
No, you're absolutely right, Drew. And look, it's questionable what Chris Kreider was doing. It's also questionable what Mika Zibanejad was doing, because it wasn't, you know, he was pretty much parallel with Mark Scheifele and probably had, well, probably not, maybe similar amount of steam.
Now, Scheifele's got a little bit of a running head start, I think, or a skating.
Yeah, maybe
head
a little bit. Maybe a little bit more. But again, you give Scheifele credit for recognizing the opportunity. Absolutely. Because that's really where it was created, right? Like he's basically in the middle of the, you know, he's about 20 feet in front of Connor Hellebuck, and he senses. You can just see the way he analyzes. You can see that Kreider's not moving in any sort of with any sort of urgency. He's very almost like passive, and so Scheifele just takes advantage. And Zibanejad isn't really quick to recognize it. And by the time he is, you're right, Scheifele's head of steam just carries him well past. You're right, he does do the old shoulder check. It's almost like he's shocked. You're like, do I really have this much time? But yeah, he did.
To make a sandwich, maybe go to Coney Island, get a hot dog in between.
No, but it just meant that, like, unlike when Nikolai Ehlers was being on the breakaway but being pressured, Scheifele knew he was going to have time to do whatever he wanted, which of course makes it a lot more difficult on Shesterkin because he's not kind of being directed in one direction. So you give Scheifele a lot of credit, one for anticipating Kreider's kind of inability to be hard on that puck, and also just to give himself that sort of luxury of time. And then, you know, I mean, we talk about his hands all the time. We know he's an amazing passer, but he can also score a lot of goals, as we'll get to. And he just keeps on rolling. And it's a heck of a good period for the Jets, right? You're up 3-1 now after 40 minutes, and you're feeling good about the way things are going. Because, you know, I think there was a little, especially I think Scheifele had a bit of a burn in his saddle because he felt like there were probably a couple of penalties that could have been called. That one I'm thinking about is when he was
hit to the head,
high stick behind, behind the net and stuff like that. So I think that kind of got him going. Probably not a bad thing for the Winnipeg Jets. And like I said, they have a 3-1 lead after 40.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Winnipeg Jets want, you know, when they go to a place like Madison Square Garden. 3-1 for the Jets in the third period. You know, it's an interesting third period to start because, you know, how are the Jets going to play with this lead? Obviously, New York is a very talented team, so you can't just sit back. You can't just do what you did to Columbus and really just, you know, really mail in that third period because you know that, you know, the Rangers are going to have a significant push. But to me, what was, you know, as impressive, and the Rangers of course did get their push and we'll talk about it, is that first sort of 10 minutes of the third period, the Jets were the team that had some opportunities. The Jets were the team that, you know, got close to expanding the lead. New York really didn't have a ton of great chances until about, I jotted it down, about the 12 and a half minute mark. So about seven and a half minutes into the third period is where New York really started to maybe push a little bit more and take a few more chances. There was two big saves on a shift by Connor Hellebuck. And I mean, you know, we haven't really mentioned Hellebuck's name very much yet on this post-game show because the Jets, you know, he had to make some nice saves, but the Jets didn't really need to rely on him overwhelmingly in the first, let's say, you know, 45 minutes of this game. The Jets, you know, we're doing a pretty good job of keeping the ice a bit tilted for the first 45 minutes, you know, notwithstanding a play here, a play there. But when you have, you know, Eraser Man in net for you, who erases other teams' opportunities, who erases your team's mistakes, it is just such an unbelievable confidence boost. He ends the game with 40 saves on 42 shots. you know, he bumps up the save, the league leading, you know, save percentage, the league leading goals against average. He's certainly the leader in the clubhouse. What's that?
I said he was going to say, I think he's winning it. I don't think there's any question at this point.
No, I mean, the truth is, and, you know, just they might as well at this point in time just say goalies aren't eligible for the Hart Trophy. Just make that the rule, because there is no player more valuable to their team in this league than Connor Hellebuyck is. He is the most valuable player. And there, so just say that it's not an award for goalies. Goalies, the Vezina Trophy is the most valuable goaltender award. And just do it that way and you'll be fine, because it's clear that there, you know, he's not going to win the Hart Trophy, even though he absolutely should, you know, be, you know, if not the winner, then he should be top three, and he likely won't be, because goalies don't win that award. But you saw it again tonight, especially as the game, you know, began to get into the dying moments of the game, that Connor Hellebuyck, when the Jets needed him, when the Jets had to call on him, he was there. And now, it's not to say that the Jets broke down, you know, had defensive breakdowns, or that their structure fell apart or anything like that, because I don't think that's what it was. I think the Jets, by and large, still did a decent job of trying to keep most everything to the outside, or keeping everything sort of one and done, and then getting rid of rebounds and keeping the Rangers from getting into the high danger areas, at least more than just the initial shot. You know, there were times, of course, but that's going to happen. But like, Connor Hellebuyck is just such a saving grace in net, that even when the Jets are playing well, I mean, we haven't seen a Jets team play this well with Connor Hellebuyck as the saving grace playing this well behind them. And that's why it's so tantalizing to think about what this, the sky is the limit for this Winnipeg Jets team if they continue to play like this, and if Hellebuyck continues to play like this.
Yeah, no, Drew, you're absolutely correct in that assessment. And we talk about it all the time. I mean, it's just not a sustainable way for a team to win, to constantly do that sort of, have that sort of pressure on your goaltender to constantly be the savior. And so when Connor Hellebuyck is called upon, okay, he's expected to make the saves, and he did. And he made, you know, you're certainly, look, that, I think that was that a full minute and a half of 6-on-5, or at least a minute? It felt like it was not an insignificant period of time. With, I mean, I know they scored with 154 to go.
Yeah, but I think it started probably a minute before that, because it was right after they could, you know, it was,
it felt like probably, they pulled Shesterkin around the 3 minute mark, but maybe it was a little bit before that. Yeah. I don't, or after that, I'm not entirely certain, but you know, like, that was a lot of pressure on that 6-on-5.
Yeah.
And like I said, with the weapons that they have in New York, I mean, it was a hard thing. And so you're not going to, you know, rip Hellebuyck for that. He just played really well, and he's continued to do it. But more importantly, and he would credit the team, and the team would credit him. So I think it's all, like I said, it's a situation where this team is working well together, and you can't, they have to be hand in hand. It can't just be this, you know, Connor Hellebuyck. And we talk about it. You want him, 40 shots is a lot, but you know, what's the quality of those shots, right? What is the nature of those shots, and are you keeping him relatively fresh? And now with Laurent Brossoit and his play this season, you're not concerned. We talked about it already, like the expectation, Hellebuck's now played two, you got to think that you got to be Brossoit. It'll be Brossoit, and we thought it would be Brossoit regardless.
Yes.
On Thursday, we know it'll probably be Hellebuyck on Saturday, and then you go back to Brossoit on Sunday. And again, like I said, it works its way out. Whether they get Brossoit in, as Scotty Billick wrote, another 7 games started for him to be eligible for the Jennings, I mean, it's a nice feather in the cap. But realistically, guys, I think these guys want to win a Stanley Cup. I think that's their focus right now. So you do whatever you need to do to keep your goalies fresh, to keep them ready to go, and keep them engaged. And right now, Connor Hellebuyck is engaged, and this hockey team is very engaged.
Yeah, and the Rangers cut it to 3-2. Lafreniere with 1 minute and 54 seconds to go. Adam Fox and Vincent Trocheck with the assists. And, you know, you sort of felt this goal to come, but the Jets, you know, obviously had the buffer of the 3-1 lead. So this one cuts it to 3-2. The ensuing faceoff, the Rangers get some opportunities. Kreider missed that tip. That was, you know, if it's on net, it's questionable if it goes in, because Hellebuyck had read it pretty well and was coming side to side, but it was wide anyways. And then the Jets are able to clear the puck, and Josh Morrissey with a very calm heads-up play, gets it onto the stick of Scheifele, and Scheifele, there was a penalty being called on this play. So basically, even if this one doesn't go in, it's going to end the game more or less because the Rangers are going to get penalized on it. And if it doesn't go in, Monahan's right there to tap it in. But more Mark Scheifele from the blue line, the Rangers blue line, just sort of cue balls it in off of the post for the hat trick goal. And you know that felt good for him to give the Jets the 4-2 victory over the New York Rangers. A huge win for the Winnipeg Jets tonight in Madison Square Garden. With the victory, the Jets move ahead of the Dallas Stars. Colorado is in action right now against the St. Louis Blues. Last I looked, the Avs are now up 4-3. That's with a minute, more than a minute to go. The Blues net is empty. So the Blues looking to try and tie it up. The Avs looking to move into a tie with the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets will have the one game in hand. And then, of course, depending on what happens in Vancouver tonight between the Canucks and the Buffalo Sabres, Canucks up 1-0 right now, about halfway through the first period. Whatever happens in that game, if the Canucks were to end up losing, the Jets would finish the night atop the Western Conference. So we're at the point of the season where we can do a little bit of scoreboard watching, but for Winnipeg Jets fans, the scoreboard that matters the most is the one that says Winnipeg 4, New York 2, a huge victory for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Don't go anywhere. We have much more of the Illegal Curve post-game show to come. We have our Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment. And, of course, before Dave was at the Lakefront Chalet, he was in downtown Winnipeg at this afternoon or this morning's Moose game, and he'll tell you all about that when we come back. It's a Tuesday night. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. We roll on. Stay with us, folks. Don't go anywhere.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 25 minutes to the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you, talking about the Jets' 4-2 victory over the New York Rangers. It's a final in Missouri. That's St. Louis, Missouri, to be exact. The Colorado Avalanche victorious 4-3 over the St. Louis Blues. So they keep pace with the Winnipeg Jets as the arms race continues. The battle for top spot in the Central Division continues unabated. The Jets will still be in first by virtue of playing one fewer game than the Avs. And, of course, the Jets do have the tiebreaker with their 39 regulation time victories. They will have that tiebreaker more than likely really all throughout the rest of the season, as they have three more regulation time victories than the Colorado Avalanche and nine more than the Dallas Stars. So if you're looking at the tiebreaker scenarios, as I'm sure so many of you are, there you go on that front. Couple post-game comments that I thought were necessary. Here's Jets head coach Scott Arneil. This comes courtesy of
associate coach
Doing the yeoman's work behind the bench for the Jets with Rick Bonus back in Winnipeg, having undergone a minor medical procedure. And we, of course, echo the thoughts of everybody else and wish Rick nothing but the best. Here's what Scott Arneil had to say, this courtesy our buddy Scott Billick. Quote, "This is a tough building to win in, and they're a real good hockey team. They weren't going away. You could see them pushing right to the end there. Real proud of the guys. They played a really solid game and really tried to take a lot of what they want to do out there." So there's Scott Arneil praising the Winnipeg Jets for their performance. Rightfully so, given how the Jets really performed in tonight's game, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, again, you have to give those guys credit. But to me, the idea of team effort is what really shone through for what I saw. I mean, again, your big dogs are your big dogs, and you want them to be the guys who lead you. So Mark Scheifele, Connor Hellebuyck, Josh Morrissey, those guys are the guys who are going to drag this team anywhere if they are able to do so. But hey, your foot soldiers all have to play a role as well, and they were able to do so throughout the course of this hockey game, whether it was David Gustafson or any of those guys. Morgan Barron, you know, he wants to play against his old organization. He wants to play well. And again, this isn't the old Jets, right? Where these guys were playing 6 minutes a game and you're like, what the hell is the point of that? Even having a fourth line, you're not using them. They're using them, and it's going to keep them fresh for the playoffs. And I think it's critical, especially for guys, you know, and we didn't talk about it, Drew, but you know, they lost Tyler Toffoli briefly. He left in the second period. He was back in the third, took that shot off the side of the head. But, you know, and Sean Monahan, you want to balance these guys out. You don't want to overtax them or overburden them. I guess we're going to overtax them because we live in Canada. But the point is, you don't want to overburden them. Dun-dun-dun-dun. But you don't want to overburden them, really, in terms of these games. I mean, there's still 14 games left in the season. So,
yeah.
Again, you're in cruise control. You're going to be in a battle for top of the spot in the Central and potentially top spot in the West, potentially top spot in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And those are important, but ultimately being fresh for the playoffs is the most important thing. So you want to make sure that your team is working well together and ready to go when the playoffs start.
Mark Scheifele's breakaway goal was certainly one of the highlight moments of tonight's game. Here's what Scheifele had to say afterwards. Quote, "I kind of knew Kreider was in a vulnerable spot and didn't really know where to go with it," it being the puck. "Just took a shot at it, and it obviously worked out." So that's the Jets star centerman talking about his second goal of the game. He had three, of course, in the course of getting the hat trick for a 4-2 Winnipeg Jets victory. All of the post-game coverage is available, of course, on illegalcurve.com and here on our YouTube channel. That's your home for all your Winnipeg Jets video, audio, everything under the sun between our website and our YouTube channel. The other team, from Manitoba, the other team, the other professional team from Manitoba, I should be more exact, the other team that plays out of the arena in downtown Winnipeg was in action earlier today. Dave M was there on site. Let's hear what he had to say in tonight's Minook Moose Minute.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minook Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
A couple of things. First of all, YouTube somehow rejected my comment. How did they think reject my comment? They accused me of spamming us. I was just responding.
I may have done some shenanigans behind the scenes or something.
Sure, maybe. But it also made it sound like I pre-taped my Moose Minute, which I may have. And, you know, it was an early morning game, of course, a school day game, the second one of the season. The Moose, after a very successful road trip, which of course I've detailed already, so I won't go over again, but they were 5-1-0, built themselves a 6-point lead on Chicago for that fifth and final playoff spot in the Central. But they came home and they had a 6-game homestand, starting with the Grand Rapids Griffins, who were the second place team in the Central. I think they're about 50 points up on the Moose coming into today's game, and Grand Rapids was on, similar to Milwaukee, was a bit of a roll, but they've kind of slowed down, similar to their parent organization in Detroit, who has not looked very good. In fact, they made another recall today from Grand Rapids, but the Griffins and Moose got things started. And let me tell you something, if they weren't ready to go, the 6,000 kids screaming and yelling and right from puck drop. And I honestly, these kids day games are the best. I'm glad the Moose do them because they always did them in the U.S. They never really did them here in Winnipeg. And it's just such a good thing. One, because it gets kids interested in hockey, and it gives kids who may not get a chance to see hockey games live to see them. And then they'll ask their parents to go. And, you know, if they can't go, then we'll give them tickets and stuff like that in the IC zone. But it's a really good introduction to hockey. And thankfully it was a good game for these kids, so they got to see some fun. But the kids, you know, are so animated. They're so involved. They're singing. I actually joked with Jeffrey Viel after the game, because the Moose were well up. And I said, you know, I think it was maybe three, four minutes to go, and he kind of got tied up, and, you know, he's the toughest guy on the team. And they start yelling, fight, fight, fight. I thought Tico Napoli might've been yelling that as well. And I said, hey, Jeff, did you have any incentive? If those kids are yelling, did you think you wanted to start fighting even more? Because these little bloodthirsty kids are all challenged. He said he didn't hear them, but he wasn't going to do it. It was a little late in the game. But the point is that the kids are animated. They're having a good time. And even with including a first period wave, I know Hustler might not have liked it, but the kids weren't, they didn't care. Hey, when you're not in school, you don't care. I mean, that's all that matters. And so
I'm sure those kids were waving. They were taking their shirts off and whooping them over their heads. I'm sure it was sheer chaos there.
Yeah. Dave Wheeler is telling us his kid was at the game today, had a blast. And honestly, it's just such a good environment. And you know, shout out to Ace Burpee. It's a Project 11 game. And so it's not just for fun. It's about teaching children about mental health and mental well-being. And so they really, throughout the course of the game, players are talking about it on the Jumbotron. Ace Burpee, who's a great advocate for mental health in the city, he's doing that. So it's a good cause as well, in addition to, you know, fun for kids. So a lot of good times were had, but more important is the focus on the ice. And the Moose, keeping it Manitoban, Drew, they got a good start because Dawson Barteau from Fox Warren, you know, folks say Pat Falloon is the pride of Fox Warren.
Yeah.
But right now it's Dawson Barteau, because he's become something of a player. I wasn't sure what to think of him. I can see Drew's just itching to get in there. So go ahead, Drew. What do you got?
I was just going to say, I mean, I just think it's fascinating that, you know, Fox Warren, Manitoba, I don't know what the population of Fox Warren, Manitoba is, but I know it's not significant that they've produced, you know, at least, you know, that they produce multiple pro hockey players out of a town that small. I just think that's just cool. That's all I was going to say, is just, I think that it's when these small towns, and it's all throughout, you know, Canada, and it's all throughout the United States and Europe as well. These small towns where, you know, hockey is such part and a parcel of the fabric of the life there, that they can produce these, you know, statistically, they shouldn't be able to produce professional hockey players coming out of towns like this. But yet there's another player coming out of a place called Fox Warren, Manitoba, that doesn't have a big population.
In fact, it's so small that when I just did a Google search while you were talking, I still couldn't find it. So, although apparently, I think what I read that Pat Falloon is living there, farming back home in Fox Warren. So, he was Flynn was the second overall pick, right? Of the
Sharks.
I think I know it was the Sharks, but
back in the day. Yeah.
I want to say he was the second.
1991 when he was drafted. Now I gotta go back. I gotta go to the hockey DB. Hang on. Second overall, 1991. So look at us, Star.
Good, yeah. good combo.
I know. I can't remember my wife's name, but that I can remember.
Well, Chaz went to school with Dawson's parents. So Dawson Barteau, his fifth goal of the season. So he opens the scoring for the Manitoba Moose, gets things started, and they continued. Parker Ford. And remember, Parker Ford, was the last cut of the Jets from Jets camp. And a lot of folks were saying Parker Ford, first year, you know, he's a rookie, first year out of college. You know, people were talking about him to be a member of the Winnipeg Jets. Well, they made the right decision. They sent him to the Moose. And after a somewhat slow start, he's been really good. That was his, I think, 14th goal of the season, Drew. And it turned out to be, a little spoiler alert, the game-winning goal, which ties him for a rookie record with Mason Appleton, who had six back in 17-18. So Parker Ford ties Mason Appleton with, you know, still about 14-15 games left in the season. So he could have a chance to pass him. But at that point, it was only 2-0 for the Manitoba Moose. And again, going into that potpourri that you love so much, Drew, Brad Lambert, he picks up the primary assist on that second goal. It was a power play goal by Ford. That was his, he has 18 goals, 20 at this point in the game, 18 goals, 26 assists in 52 games, which tied him with Kyle Connor, a guy you may have heard of before, who had 44 points in 52 games in 16-17. So Brad Lambert, a guy who Jets fans should be real excited about, the 2022 first-rounder.
I was thinking about it that, you know, everybody's focused on Rutger McGroarty, and I understand why, because, you know, but what Brad Lambert's doing is maybe even sort of going a little bit under the radar.
Not on this channel, Drew.
Not on this show. I know that. And not with our audience, because I know how educated they are and everything else. But, you know, really, maybe it should be, you know, given that Lambert's doing it at a professional level, I think maybe he's sort of should get a little bit more of that boost for the attention. I don't think it's a bad thing that he's not getting it, by, don't get me wrong. But I think that Brad Lambert is... I mean, he has found money for the Winnipeg Jets where they drafted him in that first round, given how he's turned so far as a professional.
Yeah, there's no question. And you know, the biggest thing for him was going to Seattle, after kind of, you know, sputtering a little bit as a pro here in North America. But I mean, they never would have tried him as a center. We talked about it with Craig Heisinger on our end of season Moose show when he said, like, look, they put him as center. We didn't think about that. And he thrived. And when you talk to Brad Lambert, he prefers playing center. So he loved that challenge. And he, you know, I talked about it with Mark Morrison today after the game, what he's seeing from him. But again, you're right, Drew. This is a player who is absolutely on doing something fairly remarkable, especially as a center. He's got good line mates. Can't take that away from him. You know, Jeff Malott and him have been attached at the hip. And they've had actually Anton Fjällby since he's been sent down. So, I mean, he's on a really good line. But he's doing a lot. And again, it's not easy to beat play center, but he's doing it and doing it well. And then on the PK, Jeffrey Viel, another guy, a tough guy, Tico Napoli, we know he's a big fan of his as well, but best offense, best defense, Drew, on the PK, sometimes it's good offense. And Jeffrey Viel takes a pass that was a little too hot to handle, and he goes all the way and scores against former Winnipeg Jet Manitoba Moose St. John's Ice Cap, Michael Hutchinson. So... the Moose are up 3-0 after 20 minutes. They have a 10-4 shot edge. And again, like, I don't want to say it's like remarkable, but it really is unbelievable to see this team, because even though the Moose are hot and the Grand Rapids Griffins aren't as much, they're still a good team. And the Moose, like I said, they're just feeling it, but it's almost hard to believe this is the same team that lost 11 straight games. They were 0-10-1 this season. And it seemed like playoffs were far-fetched.
Pipe dream.
And now, yeah, seriously. And now instead, they're just continuing to roll. And it's interesting because the second period started, the Griffins were all over the Moose. But hockey's a funny game, and they get a funny bounce. And Axel Janssen-Fjällby gets his 9th goal of the season. He makes it 4-0 for the home team. And then like Brad Lambert, fellow I was talking about, he gets an assist. So now he's passed Kyle Connor. And it was funny because I was just, you know, doing some more Manuk potpourri, if you will, Drew, and looking up the stats. And I was writing, well, the next Jets draft picks that Kyle Connor, that Brad Lambert is chasing, are going to be Jack Roslovic and Brendan Stay Out of My Kitchen. Some folks may not remember, but he was a pretty good defenseman for the Moose. Never played a game in the NHL, which I don't think he was very pleased with, but they had 48 points. And literally, Drew, as I'm writing that tweet and finish and I hit send, Brad Lambert scores and he makes it 5-1.
Hang on. Let me, before you break down that Lambert goal, let's do this.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Mainly because I forgot to play it before Mark Scheifele's goal, his second goal of the game. So nonetheless, so that we're not remiss in playing our Seagram shot of the game. And of course, big thanks to our friends at Seagram's. Please go ahead.
No, it was a good shot. I mean, it was a real nice play by Jeff Malott in the neutral zone, intercepts the pass, sends Lambert up on a breakaway, and Lambert makes no mistake. He beats Hutchinson. So it's a 5-1 game, and the Moose are flying. But it to me, again, and then Thomas Milic, you got to give him credit, AHL player of the week. And the folks in Seattle, I got to tell you, the folks in Seattle, folks in Winnipeg should be paying attention to Seattle, because there's a lot of love being sent from Seattle for Tyrell Bauer, Brad Lambert, and Thomas Milic.
The Seattle Thunderbirds more than the Seattle Kraken is what Dave's.
I'm saying the folks in Seattle who supported the Thunderbirds, yes, Drew. But I that was kind of when I was at practice yesterday, I ended up doing post-practice chats with Thomas Milic, who is, like I said, AHL Player of the Week, and Tyrell Bauer after he one-punched the guy in Chicago the other day. So I talked to those two guys and kind of took a Seattle bend and asked them some questions about Seattle. And then, you know, the Thunderbirds and the folks in Seattle got excited and started giving those guys some more love. So there's a big love fest from for the prospects here in Winnipeg. It's kind of like a few years ago, if you remember, when a lot of the guys were from Portland, right? Chase DeLeo, Nick Batan, Skylar McKenzie. There were a number of players who were drafted, the Jets drafted, who played for Portland. Now it's more of a Seattle bend. But ultimately, the Moose hang on, and Thomas Milic hangs on. He gets another win. So the Moose have now won 9 of their last 10 games. You know, they and Rockford, who are, of course, another Central Division team, they're the Hawks Farm Club. They are the two hottest teams in the AHL. The Moose now have an 8-point cushion over the Wolves, although the Wolves have a game in hand. But, I mean, it's almost amazing, but the Moose are almost going to chase down Texas, who are in fourth spot. And so the Moose are 5 points back of them, but the Moose are the team with the game in hand. So if the Moose can catch Texas, it just means that they'll have the home ice when they play that best of three.
As only Dave M can do, the Manuk Moose Minute, and a very good night for both teams, the Jets in New York, and of course this morning, the Manitoba Moose on home ice in downtown Winnipeg. You mentioned, you know, when we started the show about almost an hour and 10 minutes ago, that it was 2-2 between the Sharks and the Predators. The Sharks, in fact, after 25 minutes of the contest in Nashville tonight, the San Jose Sharks had a 2-1 lead. They then proceeded to give up 7 unanswered goals to lose 8-2. The Sharks, the Predators did over the San Jose Sharks. So I know that the Predators keep on rolling, but I just had to highlight how quickly the bottom fell out for the San Jose Sharks, who briefly had a lead over the Nashville Predators earlier tonight. I want to wrap up the post-game show. We're going to do it with the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting comment. Big thanks to our friends at Tough Duck for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Before we get to the winner of tonight's Tough Duck Hardest Hitting comment, we wanted to remind everybody that Illegal Curve is one of the proud media sponsors of the upcoming Rady JCC Sports Dinner. That's coming up May 28th at the Convention Center in downtown Winnipeg. One of the best nights on the sporting calendar in this fair province of ours. The guest speakers of tonight, of this year's conference, or this year's dinner, Grant Fuhr, Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark. And let Dave and I tell you, if they're anything like Eddie Belfour, Chris Chelios, and Jeremy Roenick were last year, then you are in store for a great night absolutely best dinner, first class memorabilia up for auction. Dave and I are going to be there. Ezzy's going to be there. If you want to sit with us at the Illegal Curve table, head on over to RadyJCC.com, buy your ticket, and be sure to tell them that you want to sit with Illegal Curve, and I'm sure that they will do their part to make sure that happens. For more information, check out RadyJCC.com. Tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment, we're going to give it to a new participant in the chat, at least somebody I haven't seen before. Welcome David Conan, who had the comment of smothering performance tonight by the Winnipeg Jets against one of the league's best. Helly looking helly good again as well. Big thanks to David for his winning comment on tonight's Illegal Curve postgame show. David, you can send me a message. Slide into my DMs, as the kids say, at ICDrew, or send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, and we will hook you up with a toque courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck, one of the great sponsors that we have here on the Illegal Curve post game show. It's been a lot of fun on this Tuesday night. Big victory for the Winnipeg Jets by that 4-2 margin. The entire post game coverage is available on illegalcurve.com. Of course, the instant replay of this program and the podcast edition of this program will be available shortly here on our YouTube channel. And of course, wherever you get your fine podcasts, be sure to subscribe, like, smash, and leave us feedback. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. They make this show a possibility. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Tony Woods in town at Rumors all week long. Limited tickets available. RumorsComedyClub.com. Grid Park. Use code IllegalCurve to park for free. Remember, we're going to have some free parking coming up for you on some upcoming post-game shows. I mean,
there's not a home game for like another week.
Yeah, exactly. There's no post-game show just yet. There's no home game just yet, so we're holding our fire when it comes to that free parking, but we're going to have that for you likely maybe Thursday or on this weekend's post-game shows as well. Our friends at Linden Market Dental Center, Farmery Beer, Rolly's Transfer, Zappia Group Realty, Seagram's Home, of course, or the big proud sponsor of the Seagram Shot of the Game. Boston Pizza. We'll be back at Boston Pizza coming up again. Details to come on that once we get those finalized, especially with the playoffs upcoming. You can expect that we're going to be there certainly for some of those road playoff games. And, of course, our friends at Tough Duck and Betway, the Betway Game Recap, a core part of this Illegal Curve post-game show. Big thanks to all of you for joining us on this Tuesday night. We're next in action on Thursday night as the Jets head to New Jersey to face the Devils. That'll be about an 8:30, 8:40 post-game show. We look forward to seeing everybody back here on Thursday night for that. In the interim, illegalcurve.com, our YouTube channel, those are your destinations for everything you need to know about the Winnipeg Jets. Thanks so much for joining us. Jets win by a 4-2 margin. For Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Thursday at around 8:30, 8:45 p.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.